read from the Old Testament is Micah chapter 6, 8b. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And the New Testament, as Scott has outlined, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 10, the Beatitudes. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Steve Bundahl. My wife, Sharon and I, there she is. We're new to Brattleboro. We just moved here a month ago, and we're new to Center Church. And before, as a preface to the Epiphany message that I have this morning, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for such a warm welcome and genuine welcome to us as we came through these church doors. We felt like we were home. So thank you. We also had a wonderful experience with Pastor Scott shortly after that. And I've come to know why you like him so much. His spirit is strong. His belief is just as strong. And I already consider him a friend. So the Epiphany experience that I had, I'm going to share with you. But I just wanted to share also a few words. I met Sharon on an airplane about 10 years ago. Both of us had... We're coming, living single through some rough divorces, and Sharon tried to take my seat on an airplane that had no assigned seating. But God had a plan for us, and we kind of wrapped ourselves in a warm blanket of understanding and awareness, somehow that we had known each other for a long time. And that two-hour flight went by in about 10 minutes, and that was it for me. We did get married about a year later. And I'll save the rest of that story for another time. But let me just say that we've loved Brattleboro for some time. And we were hoping that we'd come and visit. We loved the little food co-op and all the art here in town. But I think both of us agree that we were kind of led here by spirit. We sold our house in Connecticut to the first person we looked at for the price that we wanted. And we bought the second house that we looked at here in Brattleboro, also for the price that we wanted. So perhaps now our purpose is coming to fruition. I grew up in Minnesota, and at an early age, I wanted to be a minister in our family's religious tradition. But when it came time to enter the seminary, and my mother had just gone through a long, protracted illness and had died, my father had sort of fallen apart. And I was kind of just there to keep the pieces of the family together. And during that time, my faith did empty. I became very disillusioned, very sullen, very angry. And after less than a year at the seminary, I was asked to leave because of breaking rules of dress and conduct and other things. So I left on a motorcycle, and I traveled for about a year looking for things that I never really found there. But I was gone long enough for the draft board to find me. And in the lottery of that year, my number was so low that it was just a matter of a few weeks, and I was in uniform as a Marine headed to Vietnam. And that is where my life-altering event happened to me. We were on a just routine convoy in the northern part of the country, and we were attacked by air-to-surface missiles and small arms fire. Our convoy was 11 trucks. The truck right in front of mine was knocked right into the air, upside down, came down crushing everybody that was in it. I grabbed my weapon and I scrambled to the side of the road, my heart beating faster than I could imagine. And I heard the gunnery sergeant at that time saying, "Get to the road! Get to the road! Get those men off the road! Go, go, go!" And I grabbed what I could and I ran to the road. And I picked up a Marine and threw him over my shoulder. And as I did, I noticed that his arm lay nearby, and I picked that up as well. The air was filled with burning fuel and ammunition, and I got back to the side of the road, and the gunnery sergeant was still yelling, "Go, go, go, there's men in need." And so I scrambled a second time, but I never made the road the second time. Somewhere between the ditch and the road, another missile landed, and instantly I felt pain in my head as though my skull had been cracked open. I was thrown literally in the air to the other side, to the far side of the road, and there I fell in a heap and struggled to my knees, and I felt from my head as though it might be missing. And that's when I saw him, a young man about 15 or 16 years old, a North Vietnamese soldier, his weapon cocked, his eyes right at me, and his rifle ready to shoot. And our eyes kind of locked for a brief moment, and almost to say, "I'm sorry." And I just have never forgotten that face. Here I was on my knees. No helmet, no weapon, no shirt, no swagger, no cockiness. Nothing but an empty, wounded shell of a man waiting to die. And it seemed in that moment, as I took one breath and then another, I just closed my eyes, said a very quick prayer, and waited. And then I heard a click, and then a second click. His gun misfired, and he panicked and turned and ran. And there I was, on my knees, empty and alone, but grateful to be alive. Humbled by the fact that so many had already died. And there I was, still alive. And in the next few moments, the medic came to me and wrapped my head, and I had punctured an eardrum, and he put gauze in my ear and wrapped my head up, and he said, "God must have a plan for you, son. He just gave you one more day to live." Well, obviously I did survive the war. I came home, I went back to work, I finished college, I got a master's degree, but I never forgot those words. Every single day after has been different. I had one more day to live. I woke up this morning and said, "I have one more day to live. God must still have a plan for me." So I raised my family, I found my way back to church, and I never did forget that moment. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is yet to come. And only in this moment can we hear God's voice, which still does speak to us. So I dedicated my life to in service of those who had disabilities, and served 20 years with Goodwill, the last 12 or 13 as CEO here in Western Massachusetts, not far from us. And even though they had bodies that were not built in perfection, they had huge hearts that kept opening mine further and further. And in return, I could give them jobs and support and love and friendship, all because God spared me one day on the battlefield. So when Scott asked me if I would share this message to you, "Go, go, go," I said that I would be happy to, because indeed that day was so special for me. And I know that God still has a plan for me. And I know that he has for you as well, for all of us. And he does still speak to us in so many ways, in these epiphanies that come to us sometimes at the oddest times of day. We're here in this moment simply to listen and to be aware and to align ourselves to that epiphany, to let the past go and not fret about tomorrow. So I'd simply end by asking you to remember to pause whether it's on your knees, like I was, or cooking dinner, or in your favorite chair. Let this be our day to rejoice and simply ask, what would you have me do, Lord, if you had one more day to live? Blessings, and thank you all again for the welcome that you gave to Shannon.
Simple. If your glass is full, or if you think it's full, nothing can be put in it. But only if we and ourselves are emptied, if we come before one another, if we come before our God as empty, well then something then and only then can be put in us. Call it whatever you want. In my particular faith tradition, I call it the Holy Spirit. If I am full of myself, there's no room for God's Spirit. If I know it all, well, there's no point in even hearing God's wisdom. If I love myself to such an extreme that it takes all of my energy, it takes all of my time, well then I can't possibly have any energy or time to love anyone else. So our two scriptures this morning from Micah and the Beatitudes really speak to this understanding of being empty and being humbled so that we are able to hear and to learn and actually to experience. It's not a head thing, it's very much a heart thing, to experience something new. Some of us have epiphanies all the time. Some of us have not had many epiphanies. Some of us perhaps may not have even had our first one yet. But thanks be to God, we are a faith community, and we journey together, and we love together, and we shall all together, as brothers and sisters in Christ, experience epiphany eventually. This is the word of God, preached by a servant of God to the people of God, and the people of God responded.
Amen. Amen.